Okay, so I really want to go on to Mochik, but let's talk quickly about an issue that we brought up at the end of the previous year, which is opening up library books or books that have writing on the outside binding. There is, as you probably all saw, Tshuvas HaRamah on this topic, and we'll summarize maybe the Tshuva of the Rama, because really it's full of chidushim that pertain not just to this topic, but to the general Malach of Kosev. So at the end of the day, he's Matir, opening and closing such books. And first he writes that basically this isn't Derech Ksiva, because the Derech is to be Kosev. Oh, whoops. Sorry. Shalom Aleichem. I forgot to tell you. Something came up and I can't do it today in person. We could either do it over Zoom or in person tomorrow. Could I call you in an hour or so? Okay. I'm so sorry. Bye-bye. Okay. Sorry. So like this. So number one is it's not Derech Ksiva. Because the Derech Ksiva is to write letters, not to be Makarev Osios. He also says that just bringing Osios together is not even a Maisa. You're just causing them to come together. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. That's not as big of a Chiddush. He brings Rayos, that it's Mutter to be Makarev Osios Zelazah. One Raya is the one we discussed last time, the Gemara about the letter in Tveri and Tzipori, that if you learn the Gemara like Rashi, presumably when you bring them close together, you're not chayv. So we pointed out last time that might only be a raya if you assume like Rashi. Okay, but he assumes like Rashi. That's okay. But what you see that the Ramah's doing here is making a big jump. What he's doing is he's saying that just like it's mutter to bring an aleph next to a base, so too it's mutter to take two half aleph bases and bring them together, right? And maybe that's not true. Maybe you could say that bringing letters that are fully formed close together is mutter because you're not creating letters, but the malacha is creating letters, and therefore you can't prove one from the other. And in fact, this is the reason why some of the Achronim reject the Rama. The Avnei Nezer, Simen Reish Yud, rejects the Rama, and he says, no, you can't equate Kiruv base Osios that are already full Osios to closing the Sefer where there's zero Osios and you're making Osios. Now, so that's seems to be a fundamental debate as to how to define the malacha. The Rama is aware of this issue, and he points out the jump he's making, and he uses a fascinating formulation to answer that question. His answer is Delinian Chi of Shabbos Beis Haosios Kaos Achas Damya. So what does he mean? So Lule the Rama, I would have said no, that the Malacha is Ksivas Osios, and the Shir happens to be Beis Osios. In other words, if I write one letter, that's a Chatzi Shir. If I wrote a half a letter, that might be a Chatzi Malacha. It's not a Chatzi Shir. Okay, we talked about the issue of Chazilus Terufe being a Simen or a Sibra, the like, but fundamentally, a half a letter is not a Chatzi Shir because Ksiva, the geder, the malacha of Ksiva is writing Osios. And if you said that, so you could have certainly said that it's mutter to, let's say, separate formed letters from each other, but not to break a letter into two. To break a letter into two is mochek. To take two letters that are fully formed and keep them fully formed, but separate them from each other is nothing. And the reason is because I would have said, Lule the Rama, that the Gader of the Malacha is writing letters. And the Rama is telling me, no, I didn't understand what the Malacha is. There's no difference between breaking a letter that's next to each, you know, breaking apart two fully formed letters and breaking two letters into two fully formed letters into two or four half letters. They're the same thing. Because beis osios kos achas dami. In other words, there's no melacha at all until I write two osios. And therefore, there's no difference between these types of breaking up. Now, he says, if I'm right, so then there's a kasha from the Mordechai. Why? Because the Mordechai says that you're not allowed to cut the cake that has letters on it. According to what I said, that you're allowed to open up a book, why are you allowed to cut the cake? I mean, why are you not allowed to cut the cake? And he answers, no. There the problem is not when you cut the cake, really. It's when you eat the cake. Because when you eat the cake, so then you're swallowing it. It's gone. It's nimchak. The letter has disappeared. That is the problem. Now, what's interesting, we'll talk more about a cake in a minute, but this basically is the reverse of the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah said eating it is okay, but cutting the cake, that's where the problem is. According to Ramah, no. The problem is really cutting the cake, because that's just, I mean, the problem is only eating the cake, because that's causing a letter to disappear. Cutting a cake isn't such a big deal, because that's just richuk osios. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is l'shita, so he thinks eating the cake's okay. We'll see, because it's klachar yad. But chituch is aser. Now, so what does the Mishnah Berurah do about what the Ramah says? So it's a very fascinating thing, because if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, while the Mishnah Berurah, strictly speaking, does permit the opening of the book, he recommends if you have a different book, maybe use a different book, but fundamentally, he agrees with the psak of the Ramah. But if you look at how he quotes the Ramah, he's matir for a totally different reason. And you don't appreciate this until you look up the Ramah. The Mishnah Berurah thinks that really he rejects the idea of the Ramah, and he thinks that there would be a difference between breaking a letter into two versus separating one letter from another letter. So why does he permit the opening of the book? A new svara, because it's derech tashmisho. It's like opening and closing a door. Nobody thinks opening and closing a door is binyan. So too, opening and closing a book, which is derech tashmisho, even though by doing so, you there are words that are formed and words that are separated. That's the reason why it's mutter. So bekitzer, the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah both permit the opening of the book, but for different reasons. The Ramah says it's because richuk is not a violation of the malacha, and kiruv isn't a violation of the malacha's kosev. And there's no difference between dividing a letter into two or separating between letters. And the Mishnah Berurah says there is a difference. And the reason why it's mutter is because you're just, it's derech tashmisho bekach. Now, the Ramah does also say that svar of the Mishnah Berurah. He has both of those svaras. The Ramah has like a lot of svaras to be makel. So the Mishnah Berurah's svara to be makel is also in the Ramah, though it's not his ikar one, but he does throw it in at the end. He writes at the very end, the kol shekin b'sefer de omed lin ol the liftoach de krivaso v'harchakaso lav klumhu. So for the Ramah, the svara that the Mishnah Berurah says is an afterthought. He really already said it's mutter, because kiruv and richuk isn't malacha. And he says kol shekin here, where it's omed lin ol the liftoach. Whereas for the Mishnah Berurah, and really coming from the Magen Avraham, actually, this is the Iker Tam to be Makel. And therefore, this debate between the Mishnah Berurah and Ramah also has a major impact on their discussion of the cake, as we mentioned. Now, this assumption that the Mishnah Berurah / Ramah are both saying that a svara to be makel is that it's asui lakach is not so pashat. It is true that we find that svara with regard to kosev. How so? So we say, for example, at the end of Parkira, hopefully we're going to get, not kosev abona, hopefully we'll get there soon, by Mita Shel Tarsiem, Mita Shel Galalnita, all those things. These are like folding beds or folding chairs or things like that, where we say there's a big difference between assembling a table and opening a folding table or something like that. So you could say the same thing, the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah, saying with respect to Melechas Kosev and Mochek. That assumption isn't so pashut. If you take a look at the Chazon Ish, Samach Aleph Aleph, as well as the Mishnah, it's quoted in Dirshu Note 36. He says, no, maybe that's a svar that's unique to Bona and Soser, where the Melacha is totally in the Kvios. And therefore, when it's Derech Tashmisho, it's not considered Bona, because there's no Kvios. But who says that same svara would apply to other Melachos, like Kosev and Mochek? So the Mishnah Berurah, since the Chazon Ish actually, he rejects, the Mishnah Berurah rejects the reason of the Ramah to be Mekel, and the Chazon Ish rejects the reason of the Mishnah Berurah to be Mekel. So is there anything left? Is it Mutter? Chazon Ish says, well, the only good reason to be Mekel is actually because it's a Psik Reisha de Lo Micha Le Betrayed Rabbanon. Why is it Trade Rabbanon? Because first of all, it's Einu Miskayim, and second of all, it's not Amnas Lechtov. And even though, as we know, the Chazon Ish is not into this idea of Chad Rabbanans and Trade Rabbanans and the like, nevertheless, we could say it. Now, it's interesting. I mean, that's the best he could come up with, and that's why he's not so into the Kula. I mean, we saw even the Mishnah Berurah is so into it. The Chazon Ish is even less into it. You see something interesting, because you could have said Mapitom. This is certainly, if you think that it's Mechika, then maybe it is Mochik Amanas Lechtov, because you're opening the book now, but you're going to close the book again. So why isn't that Mochik Amanas Lechtov? So perhaps the Chazon Ish thinks that Mochik Amanas Lechtov means that to be chai from Mochik Amanas Lechtov, the ksiva has to be in some way an improvement over the Mechika. If this is Mochik just to restore what it was exactly as it was, so that's not Mochik Amanas Lechtov. Mochik Amanas Lechtov, and we're going to get to this actually in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk about why do you need Amanas Lechtov? Is it part of the Gedder of the Melacha, or is it in order that to not be Mekalkel? So this might be a reflection of that Chakira. So just hold on for 1 second before we get there. But that would seem to be what the Chazon Ish is assuming, that since it's not that the Amanas Lechtov is exactly the same as it was, so therefore we could say it's opening the book as Trade Rabbanans. Fine. Now, that's sort of interesting. Okay, so I understand why opening the book is Trade Rabbanans, Mechika is Trade Rabbanans, but why a lot of close the book? Isn't that only one de Rabbanan? You could still say it's Psik Reisha de Lo Nichalei, and it's not Miskayim, but for, there's no, unless, I mean, there's a Ptur for Mechika Shel Amanas Lechtov, but there's no Ptur for Ksiva Amanas Limchok, other than just saying it's Einu Miskayim, but then it's only one Rabbanan. So if you go with the Chazon Ish's logic, you could argue that there's a that closing it is aser, opening it is mutter. All right, so you'll just leave it open for the rest of Shabbos. Not sure. Fine. So, as I said, the bottom line, the Mishnah Berurah, and certainly the Chazon Ish, Avni Nezer, it's not such a pashut kula. So, like I said, if you have another book, it's better to choose that book over this book. One eitzah that you could sometimes do, especially if you have Sfarim out from the library, is to put a piece of paper through the book at the beginning of Shabbos. So then anyway, all of the letters are already broken up. Sometimes if the words are printed on the sides and the front, you might need more than one piece of paper. But anyway, If you already break up the paper, the letters before Shabbos, so they're already broken up. And then, even though you might be further breaking up the half letters when you further open it again, you could argue that's better. So if you know you're going to want to use a sefer on Shabbos that happens to have the letters broken up, that is a good etza to avoid most of what's the problem. Now, what about...
Rabbi?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why does that help if the letters are still in the Hugo Subazu? I mean, we had the Rashi and Rambam about Tipori, but we had also, I think it was Rav Hai, who said that if you have the holly and the wood together, but just because I put a piece of paper in between them, I don't think Rashi and the Rambam disagree with that, or do you think that they don't say that?
Well, let's say it like this. So I'm not saying this would be much of a Kuleyama, but you could make the following argument. If you think that the gather of the Melacha is, if you learn like the Ramas, it's Mutter, right? So why did the Avnei Nezer, let's say, disagree with the Ramah? The Avnei Nezer said the Ramah was wrong because there's a big difference between separating pre-existing letters and breaking a letter into two. When you separate pre-existing letters, so that's mochik. When you break a letter into two, that's mochik, because the gader of the malach is forming letters. But when you just take two letters and bring them close to each other, separating them from each other, that's mutter. In other words, the Avnei Nezer is willing to accept the raya from Rashi, but that raya is only matir, breaking and separating letters. So you're right, Moshe, that when if you don't accept Rashi Shita, then this wouldn't be true. But the Avnei Nezer is saying, I agree with you, Rama, we could accept that Rashi's correct in the Zavan of the Gemara, but we have to be mechalik between breaking a letter into two and separating two existing letters. So Memela, then if the letters were already broken up into two, then it should be mutter, even according to Avnei Nezer. I think that's what I had in mind. Now, I'll point out that it's not a perfect solution, especially according to Rav Moshe.
My question, I think, was that the letters aren't considered broken into two because I put a piece of paper in the middle, if I hold the book a little bit away from my face, I can read, you know, the whole word.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's really interrupted.
There's still Nehagim Zamzakilu.
Yeah. Meaning the whole ride that the Ramah and the Taz bring,
So you need a big piece of paper, you're saying.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of paper would help.
Why? If right now, if it's a big piece of paper, so I can't look at both of them at the same time.
But you need a paper that's so long that you can't see past it. Meaning if I just hold the safer further away from my face, then I can look at the spine and read the whole word easily. Right. As you say, that's still, they're separated, but they're nehugo suim zu, I would say. Maybe I'm wrong.
So your shayla is like this. You're saying that when you open a book, they're not nehagim zemza. But when there's just a paper in, they are nehagim zemza. And therefore, by putting the paper in, you haven't really solved any problem. Yes, it's true. I've already broken the letter into two, but I haven't really broken the letter into two. The letter's still one. The letter's still one. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay, maybe it's not such a good answer. I need to think about it. I thought you were saying something else, which relates to a theory that Rav Moshe has. Rav Moshe was asked the following shaila. Rav Moshe was asked, what's the din? And this is, by the way, Chelek Beis in Yoredaya, Simen Ayin Hay. Let's imagine that you have like a book or a sitter or something like that, that the page ripped in half. So are you allowed to put the half of page next to the other half of the page? So he says, well, if you could read all the letters without putting them next to each other, it would be okay. And oftentimes that's the case. Oftentimes, if the letters, you know, you rip the letters, you rip the page in half, you could still make out each letter and then it would be fine. But otherwise, if you're, again, you're creating the letter, so then one should be machmir. Now, it would still be mutter presumably according to the Ramah, but here you should be machmir. I think basically, in general, in the Shaila, there's a tzad lahachmir and a tzad lahakel. The tzad lahachmir is because here you're machavin lakach. In other words, in the case of the library book, we always have in our back pocket the fact that I have no kavanas ksiva, no kavanas machik, I never even noticed, and I couldn't care less. In a sense, it's probably worst case scenario, psikresha de lo nichalei. Whereas here, I'm machavin lakach. So obviously this case is much worse. On the other hand, there's a little bit more of a tzad lahakel because there's no kvius or chibur at all. In other words, I'm just holding them together for a minute, but they're not in any way connected, at least when it comes to the book. When I close the book, these are letters that will remain together forever until I choose to open the book and erase them again. So that could be a reason why this is more kal. So that's Rav Moshe's view, though. Now, if that's true, then a big chiddush l'chaora comes out from the Rav Moshe, which is that puzzles are going to be aser, and not just like jigsaw puzzles. You know, from the previous Rav Moshe that we talked about, from his theory of a deluxe Scrabble, then a jigsaw puzzle, something that sort of holds together, would probably be aser. But according to this point in Rav Moshe, even like a baby puzzle, if it formed a picture, and I couldn't tell what the picture was before I put the puzzle piece into the puzzle slot, and now I can, like it's two halves of a picture, that even that could be aser. Again, it's pashut that this would be mutter according to the Ramah's logic, But here, if you Rav Moshe basically rejects that logic, and therefore l'chora Rav Moshe would be machmir for puzzles, according to what we pointed out last time, that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagreed with Rav Moshe's havana of that Magen Avraham and the like, but that's what would come out for Rav Moshe. So again, these questions, as we noted, really get back to the very fundamental issue of defining the malacha. Do we find the malacha as creation of a letter, or is the malacha, in which case being mekarev parts of a letter together would potentially be a problem, or do we find the malacha differently? And again, as we noted, the Mishnah Brura and the Ramah both may go, but the safer, but for different reasons. Rav Moshe was asked the following shaila: what about opening a paroches? Now, there are different types of parochesin. You could have the standard paroches, and moshels is just like one piece of fabric, let's say, or doors, that you swing to the side. But let's say it's a fabric that opens and closes in the middle. And let's imagine, I assume you're not going to break up any letters, but you will be breaking up words, bringing up words together and breaking them apart. You know, let's say on is that okay? So if Moshe writes, that's going to be okay if you're breaking up the words, but you should still separate it a bit before Shabbos. Open up the parochas a little bit before Shabbos. It says, but if you forgot to, it's okay, because first of all, certainly according to the Ramah, it would be okay. And even if you reject the Ramah here, assuming you're not breaking apart the letters, you're just breaking apart, the letters stay whole, you're just separating words from each other. So then you could argue it would certainly be okay based off of Rashi. Is there tzad to be machmer? Yeah, maybe you reject the Ramah and you reject Rashi, learn like some of the others. And we said, according to those Rishonim, maybe it would be aser. And then he says something interesting. He says, but anyway, you shouldn't have such a parochas in general, because the minhag of Klal Yisrael is to have a parochas with just one piece. It sounds like, besides the fact that there's a potential ksiva issue, that's just a minhag, which, you know, always raises a question that we think about, which is, what types of things, in this case, shul decor, should be considered minhag, because, you know, we should continue to do it this way just because this is always the way it was done. Or what types of things are they always did it this way, but there's no reason why it has the status of a minhag. I mean, just because my parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents all had gefilte fish on Shabbos doesn't mean I have to have gefilte fish on Shabbos if I don't like gefilte fish. So it's sort of interesting. Again, he doesn't really spell out his logic, but he sort of he implies that if besides the halachic mechika issues, if we always had a paroches made out of one curtain, we shouldn't start changing it and making a paroches out of two curtains. Okay. Another more common manifestation of this shaila is going to be ripping paper with letters on it. So we already talked about when we did Melechas Korea that there are going to be times where there's no problem with Korea if you're ripping packages because you're trying to access them, whatever svara you hold of, this Kolbo svara, Rav Moshe svara, whatever exactly the svara you hold. But you're allowed to rip open the packaging. We all know, though, that the problem is that oftentimes there are letters, and the hardest thing to do is to open up a package with writing all over it. We have to worry about mechika. According to Ramah, there should be no problem because Ramah thinks that richok between osios or of osios or the like has nothing to do with koreya. As we said, the only reason why he thinks the cake is aser is because you're eating the cake. Assuming you're not eating the packaging of the candy bar that you're opening up, you're just eating the candy and you follow the Ramah, there would be no problem opening it. And lechora, likewise, if you follow the Machmir view, by opening up the library book, then this too would be aser. If you're makel in a library book based off of the Mishnah Brewer's reasoning, namely it's mutter because derech leftoch v'lin ol, then here too this would be aser, because this is not the derech leftoch v'lin ol. You open it up once, you might throw it out, but you're never going to, you know, bring it back together. So that's why it's not pashat to be makel. And one should try to avoid breaking the letters in half. But what about breaking in between the letters? I'm very careful not to break a letter in half, but I'm going to go in between the letters. Is that okay? As we talked about last time when we discussed opening packages, sometimes the most useful way to open a package is with a scissors. Klishim lachto l'iser l'tzarch gufo. And then you could be very careful. You could actually go in between the letters. But would that be a problem in terms of mechika? So, l'chora, if you object to the Ramah based off of the Avnei Nezer's reasoning, so then this would be okay, because the Avnei Nezer basically made the point that he accepted the derivation from Rashi, but he held that you can't extrapolate from the fact that being Makariv Osios is mutter to the fact that being Makariv Chelke Osios is mutter. So if you reject the Ramah based off of the Avnei Nezer's objection, it's not just the Avnei Nezer, it's also the Maamar Mordechai and others. So then, l'chora, cutting in between the letters is going to be okay. I'll also point out that you don't have to, if you open up a package in a way that's not a psikoresha for mechika, it's okay. You don't have to worry that there will be mechika. In other words, it's darashenu miskaven. So as long as, if I go ahead, I'm opening up this candy bar, and I think that there's a reasonable chance that if I rip it like this, I'll go in between the letters or in between the words or the like. And then, but I know there's also a 50% chance or even a 70% chance that I'm going to break up the letters. That l'chora is mutter, right? That's darshin miskaven. The only time it's going to be aser, assuming you don't hold to the Ramah's kula, is if it's vaday going to break through the middle of the letters, or karov levaday if you're machmir for psikresha and karov levaday. And if you do, you think it's not karv levadai, and then you end up ripping the letters, you don't have to worry. That was darshin miskaven, which is mutter l'chora. So So I saw that in Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, they quote from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that he's also makel for going in between letters. This is Shlomo Zalman Lashitasa. We also, based off of what we saw last time in the deluxe Scrabble Shaila from Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe would obviously not agree to that, because Rav Moshe held that putting one letter next to another letter, Ba'ofen Kavua, is Asur Mishum Kosev, and likewise separating them presumably would be Asur Mishum Mochik. That was his Havana of the Magen Avraham. So therefore, according to Rav Moshe, would come out very machmir. Not only can't you go, can you not rip in between, to break a letter into two, but you can't even go in between letters.
Why is that different than the paroches? Isn't that the same thing?
No, because the paroches first of all, even there, he said you should leave the paroches open before Shabbos. I thought that the paroches, let me look back at that, but there you have the svara, the other svara of the Mishnah Berurah, that it's asui to be poseach and open and close all the time. And I would even add there also, usually you're probably not even breaking up a word, you're just going in between words. So this would be more chamor. So if we're machmir on the shaila, even if we accept the more lenient version of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, but what about pictures? We know that making a picture is roshem. So l'chora, even if you could avoid the letters, but if you're breaking up the pictures, it would also be a problem. So the answer, so in a chanami, l'chora would be. However, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach was makel, if it's like a picture of, somebody, eating a pudding or something like that, so then that would be an issue. But if it's just shapes or squares or the like, then Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach was makel. And we will talk about the reason for that. But it might relate to that distinction that we talked about. We talked about the Chazon Ish and cake and the like, right? We already did that, yeah? Okay, so that will bring us back to those chilukim, maybe there, and the geder of roshem, and also mechika for roshem. And as I said, I think even if one should be machmir l'chatchil on the shayla, we have seen that there are many tzadim l'hako. Okay. In Sif Dalad, Shin Mem Sif Dalad, the Shulchan Aruch says something very interesting. It's mutter to write in the air. I could go like this and make letters in the air. Now, why is it mutter? What are we talking about? So you might have thought, the Magen Avraham says, as we pointed out last time, that this would be aser because it's like practicing writing. And then we say something else. We say, it's also mutter to go watch people do an umnus. This is really not a kosev shaila, but since it comes up here, it's worth pointing out. So the Rama writes, for example, and Mishnah Berurah quotes this as well, that let's say I'm walking down the street and there's a master bricklayer. I could go stop and watch him lay the bricks, even though I'm the chaven to learn the technique. The Mishnah Berurah adds that if it's nicker, b'halichaso or b'diburo, then it's aser, then it's like a maisa. I can't walk to my fields to like see how the things are growing. Then it's nicker b'halichaso that you're going for that purpose. And that's paskind in Shin Vav Sif Aleph. That's based off of Mimso Cheftzacha. So it's interesting also, you see, it's only Mimso Cheftzacha if it's nicker. Sounds like, for example, if I go out of my way to watch that bricklayer, but it's not nicker that I went out of my way, that's okay. And that's based on the Gemara in Erevin that says it's aser when it's muchacha milsa. Though the Bir Halacha quotes Chayadam over there in Shin Vav Aleph, who's machmir, even if it's not muchacha milsa, but But I think the stima sadvarim sounds like it might be mutter over here. One of the things that people think talk about this is it mutter? Some people want to know, could I go to a conference on Shabbos, a business conference? So I'm not going to do any melacha. I'm just going to go to the hotel and I'll come to some of the sessions. I'll daven first and I'll have a suda later. I'm just going to go, what, you know, I'm just sitting in a chair in a hotel. What have I done wrong? What's wrong with that? But the answer is, among other things, this will be usher based off of what we're saying over here. And going to the conference is certainly muchamilsa. Though I saw Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in Dirshu note 43 in our Simon, in Simon Shin Mem, that it's mutter for a doctor to go observe surgery. So maybe it would also be okay for a doctor to go to a medical conference if that's actually going to teach him something that he needs to know in order to treat people. If there's no other way to do it, maybe. But he's makel for a doctor to watch surgery on Shabbos, but he isn't makel for a medical student who's not yet practicing, only if he's practicing. One last shiloh before we talk about mochek. So what I saw, Dirshu 41 asked the question, do you have to worry about like boots on the snow or mud, which make words on the snow, right? Like the bottom of my boot, I don't know, says bass on it. Is that something you have to worry about? So they quote Rav Nissim Karelitz, that is mekel, because it's enu miskaven. Aye, but it's a psik resha. Still, it's okay because ein b'hat ba'at osios elu shum to'eles. Now, that's interesting because, okay, it's true. So it's a psik resha lo echbaslei. Why does it make it not a malacha? It's very interesting. In other words, somehow or another, he's saying that makes it chaser be'etzem malachas kosev. That's a very big chiddush. I would have thought it's mutter for a different reason. L'chora, we could be mekel because it's a psik resha lo michalei betrayed rabbanon, right? It's enu miskayim and it's kalach haryad. Now, we're not so excited about both, about relying on that, because both of those are klaliastika derabbanans, right? We could throw in the svara of derech hilucho and lefitumo and the like, though we saw that those aren't so pashut either. So maybe it's not so pashut. Maybe it's, you know, if you have different boots, maybe you could argue it would be better to be machmir. But as I said, I thought the cooler of Nissen Karelitz is a very fascinating chiddush lahakel, that svara. Okay, let's talk about mochek. So the Mishnah says that you're chayev when it's mochek almanas lichtov. And so the question we have to ask, as we alluded to before, is why do you need almanas lichtov? And really, we could go in two directions. One is that part of the geder of the melacha is that it has to be almanas lichtov. Without almanas lichtov, we could use our favorite phrase, it's not the tzura of the melacha. And one reason why you might say that is that's the way it was in the Mishkan. And that is the mashmos of Rashi, ayin hamad beis tir masal machak. Rashi says, she'ein meleches mechika chashuva el amenas lechtov. In other words, it's a chisaron in the chashivas hamelacha. He doesn't say because it would be makalkel. He says it's a chisaron in the chashivas hamelacha. However, the other tzad, as we noted, is to say that it's going to be makalkel if it's not almanas lechtov. And in fact, Rashi writes that as well. On daf lamed aleph amud beis dimaschali olam, Rashi says kol makalkel de Shabbos ave pater de lav meleches machsheves, and he says so says chayev because it's almanas livnos and v'chein korea dum yedisoser v'chein mochek tenan. Amanas lechtov de kulam soser ninhu. So Rashi and Lamed Aleph says the reason why you're pater if it's not amanas lechtov is because otherwise it's mekalkel. We have a stira in Rashi. We already know and have seen the same stira in Rashi with respect to Korea. And the Mishnah Berurah made a big deal out of this stira in Rashi, though he denied it was a stira. He threw out one of the Rashis. But if you remember, that same Rashi, Lamed Aleph on the base, says it's pater dafka if it's mekalkel. Yet Rashi and the Mishnah by Korea writes, Pa'amim shehanekev agul ve'enu yachol tofer yafel imken koru kemif kinefresh muhara avol koreya shelo menas litfor lo havei b'mishkan. Why are you potter? Not because of mekalkel, but because loving mishkan. So we have the same steer in Rashi, both by Korea and by Mochek. By Korea, we had other Makoros that supported this latter option, like Rashi by Poseach Besatzavar. Rashi says, you're chayv misham tikun mana. He didn't say you're chayv misham Korea, even though it's Mesakin. And we saw that the reason for that, according to the Ramban, the Ritva, the Beis Yosef, is because what? To be chayv misham Korea, you need it to be almanas lit for. It's not enough that it's just a Mesakin. We saw that the Bir Halacha tried to deny that possibility. The Beis Yosef got it wrong. The Ritva is a Das Yachid. The Ramban doesn't exist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But even though if Yoni was here, you know, we could say something like the Mishnah Berurah tried to erase it. But it does seem to certainly be a possibility. Perhaps going back to Melachas Mochek, do we have any rayos from Melachas Mochek? Maybe raya from Ayin Hamid Beis. It says that Machak Os Gedola Yesh Mekom Alichtov Shtayim Yerchayev. So it sounds like you need Amanas Lichtov fundamentally. It doesn't say, you know, Machak Os Achas Gedola, and it's Misakein Yerchayev. It's Amanas Lichtov Shtayim. Now, I don't think that's a Muchach Raya, because you could say, no, Adarabba, actually, it's teaching me something else. It's teaching me, for example, that we need enough space to write two osios benonios, right? Without this, if it didn't say, v'yesh mekomo lichtov shte osios, I would think that, you know, what if you could squeeze in two letters or something like that? So, though maybe I guess you could prove one of those, chidushim agav, the Ran was says something even more remarkable on this topic. I'll just mention it because it's fascinating about the Gedder of the Melacha. He writes that you need to be roi lichtov shtei osios from the same ksiva that you were mochek. In other words, if I was mochek ksava shuris, so it has to be roi lichtov shtei osios of ksava shuris. Not just shtei osios, and not only that, but it needs to be roi lichtov the same letter you erased. Like if I erased a letter aleph, so you need makom to write two alfin benonim. Now that's a very interesting chiddush, because we're going to see the Tosefta teaches us, and more or less all the Rishonim accept, that even if you're mochek tishtos dio, you're chayev. So, you know, from the Ran, you get the impression that the getter of the Melacha is dafka mechikas osios. Like the Rush actually thought in Havamina, you know, lule the Tosefta. But the Rush says, but we paskin like the Tosefta. The Ran is very fascinating. I don't know, maybe we could come back to our favorite Rebbe Avraham ben Arambam, though, you know, every time we apply it, it's a massive chiddush, but maybe he thinks tish tush is like a tolda. So when you do the av, you need dumya de mishkan. When you do the tolda not, I don't know. Yeah, Moshe.
Yeah, I might have cut out for a second, so I might have missed this, but you asked from the Tosefta, right? About stealing shava and dio?
Well, I'm saying if you're going to be chayef for tish tush dio, so what's the shear, right? What's the shear? Shtei osios. What type of osios? Osios benonios, or the osios you're, if you think you need dafka manas lichtov, so whatever osios you're planning to write. But here, according to the Ran, you're limited by the letters that existed. In other words, if I erase an aleph, and yesh b'makomo to write two yuds, but not two Alephs, you're Potter. Even if you're planning to write two Yuds. And the reason is because it's very, I think, past looking. It's letter looking, right? It's looking, but which on its own could make sense. But if you're going to say that, then how could you also be chayav for tish just yo? So unless you say no, when you're erasing letters, we have these limitations. That's the av. But when you're erasing dyo, so that's a told, that's different. It's not limited by that. In other words, ironically, there are many more limitations or stringencies when we're talking about writing, erasing actual letters. So I don't, maybe the Ran doesn't hold of tish just yo. I'm not sure. It's something to, maybe he thinks you're only chayev to, we'll see this as a possibility in a Rambam, if you're mochik tish just yo, that's on top of a letter. And in fact, you have to go by the letters underneath it. There's a mashmos in the Rambam that way, though I think it's very far-fetched reading of the Rambam. But either way, it's a fascinating run. Anyway, going back to our basic question, though.
Just while we're on that tangent, yeah. I just wanted to, if we accept the Rambam that simonim means symbols, so a period is a very small symbol. So in general, and also we have a concept of font size nowadays. So how do we incorporate those into the shiur?
Right, great question. So number one is, again, the Rishonim already talk about Osios Beinonio. So they also had font sizes. They knew that, you could erase one letter and stuck two tiny letters into it. So at the very least, we might have Osios Beinonios, average size letters. And in terms of, certainly if you hold like the Ran, but I'm saying, even if you don't hold it, that we look at what was there originally. But even if we don't, I don't know if we do a paskin like this Ran, it's a very mechudash shita. But even if you reject the Ran, there's still this concept of osios beinonios. Now, if you hold, that it, it needs to be mochik al menas lechtos de osios, and shtei osios are necessary, not just so it's not mekalkel, but fundamentally, you need to write shtei osios. So then that would also answer your question, but that's adaka b'china, that's what we're trying to figure out. So, again, the Ran is very mechudash, but I also think the Ran is trying to answer, by saying that chiddush, he's trying to answer your question. What other Rishonim do we talk about this? So we know Tosfos and I'm Gimel on the base, the Masel Zomer Tzach Leitzim. Tosfos we've probably come back to 10 times this year. So he seems to assume that you do need Mochik Amenas Lechtov, because he writes that Mochik is one of the Melachos that the Amenas, the Tzorech, is so chashav, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be Pater, and it wouldn't just be considered Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. So that is the simple reading of Tosfos, as Rabbi Kiv Eger over there points out. And we talked about last time when we did Korea, how we could shtim that with the sugya of Korea b'chamaso. But at least the simple reading of Tosfos certainly suggests that you need literally amenas lichtov. So the Prima Gadim, and this is cited by the Bir Halacha and Sif Gimel, has a very interesting chakira or a very interesting nafgamina to this whole case. One nafgamina would be if it's misakein and it's not al menas lechtov. But he has a specific example, which I think is a very fascinating when we look at the treatment of the Mishnah Berurah. So his shaila is like this. Let's imagine that I have a shtar. The shtar says, I owe Yoni 9. And so I pay Yoni the $9. So instead of ripping up the shtar, I guess I want to be able to reuse the shtar or something like that. So we just erase 9. Okay, it's not a very good shtar maybe, but that's what we decide to do, to indicate that this has been paid. So erase 9. Are you chayv or not? So the Prima Gadim and Bir Halacha says, oh, this will be this question. because here it's misaken. Now, he says, but one second, it's not al menas lichtov. And not only that, but it's not even b'makomo lichtov shtei osios, right? Because I'm just erasing the number nine. So he says, no, maybe you'll still be chayev. Why? Afal pishalei al menas lichtov v'dafka b'mochek tishtosh v'kedomeh. Oh, kishoso haksav lo haya ma levelo morid. Mashin kain, zet shamachika gufa hu hatikon. So here, even though it's not amanas lichtov, and it's not even necessarily makom lichtov shtei osios, still, you'll be chayev. Why? Because the mechika is the tikkun. Now, this is one other place where the Mishnah Berurah l'shitaso, as you remember from Korea and Soser and the like, the Mishnah Berurah was the one who said that the only reason why we have al-menas is so it's going to be misaken. So here too, he takes the same approach. And he says, I'm going to bring three rayos that are going to be chayiv in this case when you erase the nine. Number one is basically from Korea. Just like we know from Korea, from all of his proofs by Korea, that you don't need al-menas lit for as long as it's misake and you're chayev, so too for mechika. So as we pointed out, this raya from Korea is not at all simple, and at the very least is probably subject to a machlokas rishonim. So raya number one is I guess you could question on two counts. Number one is, you could question whether it's even true by Korea. And question number two is, you could ask, is it so obvious to prove from Korea to Mochek? Perhaps Mochek is more letter-oriented than Korea. And certainly, you know, the types of ideas that we saw in that run might highlight that point. Okay, raya number two is, and I'll point out, I guess, we'll skip to raya number three and then we'll go back to two. Three is also the same type of raya, except this time it's from Soser. It's a raya from Soser, so too to here. He writes the Rambam in Perek Yud, Halacha Tezvav, writes it Soser, ba'inan shi'amanas livnos, but Soser derech hashchas is pater, and he says it's mashma, that if it wasn't derech hashchasa, it was the stira was a tikkun, even though it's not almanas livnos, you would be chayef, and hachanami binyanenu. So again, the proof lies in the assumption that we're going to equate all these type of mekalkel dikamalachos. We could prove from Korea, we could prove from Soser. But is there any proof, mineube, any rayos from Soser itself? Sorry, from Mochek itself. So his second raya is a raya, and l'chorot, therefore, it's his best raya. It's a raya from the Tosefta, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Zayin. Dezeh l'shono. We do the Tosefta. V'hamochek l'kalkel pater, ein l'chashachayv el ha-mochek al-menas lichtov, v'hamochek al-menas l'sakim kolshu arvei zachayv. So first of all, we should note, if you actually look in the Tosefta, the second sentence from which the raya is being brought is in brackets. It says, if you read the text not in the brackets, it just says, "V'amochik l'kalkal pater im l'chashachayev el amochik omnas lichtov," which is ambiguous. If anything, it sounds fakert. But that second sentence, "V'amochik omnas l'sakein kolshu," which is the ikar diak of the bir halacha, is in brackets. But I looked in the Tosefta, and Professor Rabbi Lieberman thinks that it is the correct girsa. So we're going to assume that that this is the correct girsa. So l'chayra, it's a good raya, except we should point out that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch do not paskin this Tosefta. Now, the Bir Halacha says, well, that's because it's obvious. The shitazo, it's obvious. So that's why they don't paskin. So what is the Tosefta teaching us? So what the Tosefta is teaching us is that there's two shiurim in mochek. There's mochek al menas lechtov, and then a shiur's base osios, and then there's mochek lesakein, and then the shiur is kolshu. So it's really interesting. We'll go back to my example that my star says I owe Yoni $9. If I let's say I paid him entirely, so I raised the nine, I'm chayev. Let's say I paid him six, so we're one, we raise the nine and replace it with a three, then I'm potter. In other words, in both cases, I erased the nine, but in one case you're chayev, and in one case you're potter, because when it's molchek almanas lichtov, then the shear is going to be shteosios. Unless you say that, no, maybe you'd also be chayev for one os in that case, because it's like a sefer. It's like being mashlim the sefer, because there's only one letter mistake. Wouldn't work for Rashi, probably, that you need a sefer misifrei Tanakh, but at least maybe for the Rambam. So maybe then you would also be chayev for one letter. Either way, what comes out from the Tosefta is almost like there's these two dinim in Mechika. Now, the Avnei Nezer also learns this way, like the Mishnah Brura, that you're chayav if it's misakein, even if it's not a menas lechtov. It's simen resh tes os yod aleph. And he has an interesting diak for the Rambam this way, because the Rambam writes, hamochek eno chayav ad shim chok sav ha-omed me'al gabe davar ha-omed. So why didn't he write Amanas Lichtov Ksav HaOmed? That's a diak. The Bir Halacha brings a raya for this from the Rambam by Soser, as we saw. That was his third raya. I'd like to point out, though, that that's a very mechudish raya. Why? Because let's look at what the Rambam actually says by Soser. If we look at the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yudches, so that's at the beginning when he's talking about the Klalim, he writes that not only do you need Soser Almanas Livnos, but you need Soser Almanas Livnos b'mekomo and Mochek Almanas Lichtov b'mekomo. His lashon is, Kol Makalkel Almanas Lasakein Chayev, Ketzad, Haresha Soser Kedei Livnos b'mekomo. O shemachak kede lichtov bimkom shemachak. O shechafer guma kede livnos besocha yisodos v'chol kios b'zeh chayav. So just like I am potter, if you are soser to get the material, let's say, you know, I want to build a new house. I don't have wood, so I'm going to take down my old house in order to build a new house. In a different place. I don't like that place, but I need the material. So it's misakein, but you're potter according to the Rambam, because you need mekomo dafka. And he says the same thing for mochek. Now, the simple way is that if you emphasize that you need amanas lichtov as a prerequisite, not just to overcome the kilkel, so then I could understand this. If you learn like the Mishnah Brura, this is a much bigger chiddush, because according to Mishnah Brura, you don't need almanas lichtov in the first place. So why do you need almanas lichtov bimkomo? Or to put it a little differently, let's imagine that I have I wrote something in the margins of this book, right, or a shtar, and so it looks very ugly. So I'm erasing the writing in the margins, and I'm not on it. It's misaking for sure, right? Because now it's going to look nice. It's not, it's ugly when there's writing in the margins, but it's not on Nas Lechtov Makomo. Mishnah Brura would say, you're chayev. The simple reading of the Rambam is that you're potter. So I think the Mishnah Brura would have to say no. The reason why you need Amanas Lechtov B'Makomo is not for the reason I'm saying. It's not the fundamental you need B'Makomo. And the Mishnah Brura brings a raya from that for the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Tes Vav that says a soser kol shuchayev v'hu sheyistar menas livnos al nesaser derech hashchasa pater. Really, it's only pater if it's derech hashchasa. Aye, why do you need Makomo? So I think the way the Mishnah is reading the Rambam, from the fact he brings a Raya from Mochik, he would say like this. Let's say I tear down a building, not Almanath Levnos Makomo, but because it's an eyesore. In other words, a tikkun comes from tearing down the building itself, right? I have this view. I have an ocean view worth $1 million. There's this ugly shed blocking my view. So I am soser the shed. Shalom anas livnos. Certainly shalom anas livnos milkomo. There's one thing I want is nothing there. So I have a good view. I think he would say that according to Mishnah, according to Rambam, you would be chayiv. The only time you need almanas livnos milkomo is when otherwise the stira would be a kilkel. And then the tikkun of using the material somewhere else, that's going to be pater. But again, lule the Mishnah Berurah, you could have understood the Rambam differently. I guess maybe we'll get back to this when we do stira. But you see, again, the Rambam, the Mishnah Berurah is I think reading the Rambam in somewhat of a mechudishtik way. How else could you have explained the sort of the tension in the Rambams that the Mishnah Berurah would be noting? So this brings us back to, you know, the Mahalchim that we had when we talked about Korea and the like. And, you know, we said this Vart to be Miyashev, the Stira and Tosfos. How could you have the possibility of Korea Meso, Korea Bechamaso, if you learn like Tosfos? And in Rabbi Kidager's question, basically. And we had this Mahalich. We saw something like this in the Stipler. There's a difference between where the tikkun comes out from the ripping itself versus as a hechatimsa for something else. And it could be that you would say a similar chiluk over here. All right. We're out of time. Let me tell you the plan. So first of all, number one is Moshe mentioned last time after the shir. I was taking for granted that in the case of the video surveillance, that we can't really say it's lo nichale because you want everything to be recorded. And since in theory, you would be very happy if only terrorists are being recorded, but that possibility doesn't exist. And therefore, the recording is nichale. And Moshe was arguing, no, or I don't know, Yoni was arguing, no, not true. The fact that I'm recorded when I walk into my house is totally lo nichale. I wish it wasn't happening. Well, at least I don't care. You don't need lo nichale. Lo echbas is life enough. I couldn't care less that my image is being recorded. So after Shir, Moshe pointed out that Rav Asher Weiss told your Shver, right, that what I was arguing for is wrong. So I bumped into Flug again after the Yeshir. I asked him what he thought about this question. So he said, it's a machlokas between Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Willig. Rav Willig apparently was saying like me. I have to go back, and I didn't have a chance yet to clarify that with Rav Willig. So I'll have to get back to you on that, Shaila. But I was thinking about it. I'm not sure if what I was saying makes sense. It's a very interesting and alumnus of Shaila. Okay, so what are we going to be doing next? So we're going to talk a little bit more about Mechikas, Tishtush Dio, and the like, the Tosefta, or especially that Rush. We'll talk about Shava on your Sefer Torah. We're going to get back to the, we'll talk a little bit more about the cookie Shaila. And I also want to talk about, with your Rishus, the sugya of Safinan, which comes up here in this Mordechai that everybody's quoting. It's a tremendously fundamental marmakom about that shaila with a million applications, like, you know, giving your kids food and toys and all sorts of things. So maybe we'll have a little digression. So maybe think about that a little bit. What is being taught to us about Sophia over here? So we'll talk about that for a couple minutes. There's a very fascinating Shulchan Aruch Harav, two of them actually, which I think I put on your Marmakoma sheets, I meant to. Then maybe we'll briefly talk about Shtari Hedyotos, which might be Asar Kazugzeir Shem Yimchok, and as well as Masu Matan on Shabbos. The Marmakomos for these are on your Marmakomos. And then I'd like to move on. Let's say we'll make, you know, we'll do two more shiurim. We'll talk about internet commerce on Shabbos, leaving things open again, the Sugyan Beitz and the like, all the things that are usher because of Masu Matan / Gzeirah Shamei Yom Chok. Tomorrow, Lamaskana, what time are we supposed to meet? Let me turn off the recording. There was, I think you have, the Kol Elyon guys have lunch at...